In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to discuss the second Sunday in Lent of this cycle, which is C. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I usually have some sort of theological reflection for the first part, and then the readings and so forth for parts 2, 3, and 4. Today, I want to do the first reading in the psalm as part 1, and then the second reading as part 2, and the gospel is part 3 and 4. And I'll explain when we get there why. But let's begin then. The theme of the day is revelation and promise. This is the day. It's always the second Sunday in Lent, we have the Gospel of the Transfiguration. This mystery of the Transfiguration is celebrated 3 different times in the liturgy. It's here, the second Sunday in Lent. It has its own feast on August 6th, and it's in one of the Saturdays of ordinary time. The Church shows its reverence that way. It might be useful if this were elevated to a more higher level of feast, because it is so important. As I hope this mystery of the Lord's Transfiguration, I hope I can mediate the importance of this reality for us. Now, the way the Church has done this, it's taken the vision of Abraham in Genesis 15, where there's a promise, and put that as the Old Testament background to the reality of the occurrence of the Transfiguration. And then, of course, we have the psalm that goes with that reading. So we're going to do that right now, and then when we get to parts 3 and 4, I'm going to talk about Kavod, glory, and how that relates to the feast of the Transfiguration, the mystery of the Transfiguration. So, you might remember the story. This is Genesis 15. God comes and says to Abraham, I'm sorry, you know, Al Tirah, don't be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield and so forth, and I will make you a great nation. And Abraham says, how can I do that, Lord? I'm childless. I have no children. And you're going to make me a great nation. That's when God takes him outside. I'm going to read a little bit of it if I can find it quickly. We're in Genesis 15. And God takes him outside and says, look up at the stars. Now, if you've ever lived in a desert environment, you know that look up at the stars is a much more important thing than if you're living in the middle of New York with all the other light going on that obscures the darkness of the sky and all the smoke and fog. If you're out in the desert and you see the stars, you really see them. We used to go out there, you know, to Sinai. And at night we sleep in a sleeping bag because it's cold. The Arabs call the desert a cold place heated by the sun. When the sun goes down, it's chilly. So you're in your sleeping bag, lying on your back, and you look up, and the whole sky, first of all, there's no industry, there's no, you know, car fumes, there's nothing. It's just clear air. And you see the number of stars. It's like black velvet with millions of diamonds. And you're just intrigued. You just lie on your back and look at that. That's what God said to Abraham. Come out and take a look at that. You see, this is the way your posterity is going to be. You see, fear not, Abram. I will make your. I am your shield. I will make your reward very great. And Abram says, O Lord God, what good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless and have as my heir the steward of my house, Eliezer? See, you've given me no offspring. Then the word of the Lord came to him. No, not Eliezer. You're from one that issues from your own body. So he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. And that's where our text begins today, you see. The Lord took Abram outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Well, nobody can count those stars. I mean, I've lain on my back there in the Sinai Desert many times. And I've never even tried to count the stars. I mean, without even turning my head, the ones I can see, I can't count. There's millions. Or lots, I mean. He says, look at the sky and count this. If you can, just so, he added, shall your descendants be. Now notice the situation. I have not a child of my own. You promised me I'm going to be the father of a great nation. There's nothing going on. And now you take me outside and you show me this. And you say, that's the number of your descendants. Now, he's got nothing to go on but God's word. And that's why this is the model for believers. This is the text that Paul builds on in Romans 4 when he's talking about faith. You see? Adam, then our translation has, Adam put his faith in God, in the Lord, who credited to him as an act of righteousness. Lasidica credited to him as justice. You see? Abraham put his faith in the Lord. That word is hanging. You see, amen, they all, like amen we say all the time, they come from a root which means to be solid. See, in the Semitic mind, truth is solidity. In the Greek mind, truth is correspondence between this and that. Between, but for the Semite, it's solidity, you see. God is truth, you see. He doesn't move. And you can count on him. So now God has said this. He didn't say, oh, Abraham, you poor dear, I'm sorry that it's taken so long, but he just called him outside and challenged him all over again. It's nice when God can treat us like that, isn't it? When he trusts us enough that we're not going to get neurotic, and he's going to be able to say it just the way he wants to. Count those stars. I promise you, your descendants will be as numerous as that. And Abraham had nothing to go on. And the text says, literally then, verse 6, Vayomer Elohim, Abraham, Hehemin, believe God, you see, made God firm. That's what believe means. In other words, God told me this, and I'm going to lean so far over on it in trust that if it's not true, I'm going to fall flat on my face. That's faith. And so, God believed him. No evidence except God's word. No little boy running around, you know. Nothing. That's faith. And for all of us, our faith has to somehow get to that point. So, St. John of the Cross says, you see, that the dark night of the soul is an heroic act of hope and faith. With God's word is enough. And so, he believed him, you see. And that was credited to him as tzedakah, as justice. Now we've done that word enough, right? Tzedakah means to honor the truth of every relationship. A man who does that is Tzeda, okay? So, to be Siddhaka, in regard to God, means what? To honor the truth of the relationship. If he says something, accept it. Act on it. Suppose you had a real rich uncle, and he calls you up one day and says, you know, I've decided I'm going to give you a check for $75,000, just so you can have some money. Well, if you believe your uncle, what are you going to do when you hang up? Oh, I'm going to change this couch, I'm going to get a new car, I can get my kids through college, you're already doing stuff, you don't have the money yet. But you're acting on the money that you don't have. That's just a little example of faith. Well, God is saying, so you just act on it. You see? You don't need all the proof and all the, control and no, just, you said it, God, I'm going to believe it. And so, that's why it was credited to him as the right way to relate to God. He made God firm. He made God firm. There's a famous text in Isaiah 7, right? If you don't make God firm, paraphrasing, you won't be firm. Same thing. It's the same word. Amen. All right. Then he goes on. The Lord goes on. That is so beautiful. And he counted it as justice. And now he goes on. I am Adonai who brought you up from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession. I did it. I'm going to give it to you. It's your land. Because I run the world and I'm saying this is your land. Still is. To this day, you go over there, and it says, Baruch Haba, welcome to the land of Eretz Israel. This is thousands of years later. Have there been interruptions? Oh boy, yeah. Exile and conquerors. I give you this land as a possession. Now, he has another kind of an answer. Lord God, how do I know I'm going to possess it? Now, God makes a covenant. God makes a covenant. Calming Abraham down. So, it's a typical covenant. The word in Hebrew is to cut a covenant. So, he takes these animals. And he cuts them in half. And the birds and the rabbits and everything. It's all in the texture. Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, 3-year-old she-goat, 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, or young pigeon, and split them in two, and then, but the birds he didn't cut up. And then, as the sun was about to set, a tardema fell on Abram. And then, this smoking fire pot went through the animals. Because the covenant is, you see, may this split happen to me if I break the covenant. That's why they split them and then walk through them. So God walks through. Abraham doesn't. Only God walks through. And he says, you see, and Abraham is in a trance, or he's in a tardema, he's in a special kind of sleep. And it was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram. To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates. That's the word of the Lord.